IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hi, I'm Sarthak, and I welcome you to one more episode of All Things Policy. In this episode, we are going to discuss how to increase access to laws. Laws govern different aspects of our lives. What we can do, what we can't, laws govern all this. In short, laws decide the extent to our personal and economic freedom. But accessing laws might be difficult. Sometimes it can be a nightmare. And access to laws impact access to justice. If one can't access laws, justice can't be reached. Rather, justice will be denied. So how do we make laws accessible to everyone? To discuss this, I have a special guest with me, Ms. P.R. Sandhya. Sandhya is a senior research fellow at Daksh. Daksh is a civil society organization that undertakes research and activities to promote accountability and better governance in India. Sandhya has recently authored a paper, Single Source for Laws. She is a graduate of ILS Law College and University College London. Hi, Sandhya. Welcome to All Things Policy.
Hi, Sata. Thank you for having me here.
Thanks, Sandhya, for being part of this discussion. So, Sandhya, what do you think are some of the issues when it comes to disseminating laws? Or if I have to look at the context of your paper, Single Source for Laws, why have you thought of writing on Single Source for Laws? What is the need for Single Source for Laws?
The paper is a product of, you know, in general, this last year, especially if you've noticed, we've had a lot of things move online. If you see, you know, because of the pandemic, we've had a lot of notifications online. We've had a lot of our governance things go online, and we are trying to find information and clarity, everything online. While things were such, we were also thinking about accessibility to laws as, you know, something in the digital medium. So the Single Source for Laws sort of culminated from various things. One was, as I said, about how everything was slowly moving online. And also, there was an attempt by the Indian government where they had started this thing called the India Code Portal recently, where they were uploading legislations. And a couple of years ago, Niti Aayog, in their action plan, also mentioned a Single Source for Laws and how it sort of increases the rule of law per se, and contributes to purposeful dissemination of laws. So all these things sort of culminated, and we decided to sort of write this paper to, you know, try and understand for ourselves how this could be more important than we sort of think at this moment. It might seem simple idea. Of course, laws are there. You just have to upload it. But then there are so many nuances to this, and that's how the Single Source for Laws actually became an idea for us to get involved with and try to understand the different nitty-gritties of actually having a portal which is like a single source for laws for the citizens.
So you mean to say that at present, there might be different places where you can find different pieces of law or different laws, but we don't have one common place where all these laws are there.
Yeah,
and
sure.
That makes it quite difficult for a common citizen to access laws. And since laws impact different dimensions of our lives, it can be something which is very confusing for an individual.
Also, another important reason to have the Single Source for Laws is the fact that we have many websites now. We have the state gazettes, we have the central gazette, we do have websites where laws are put out. But the need for a single source becomes really important because we have various sources of law in India, right? We have primary, we have subordinate, sometimes we have laws made at the municipal level. So getting access to everything sometimes is very difficult. The citizens are left in a state of confusion. So in that context, a single source for laws will really benefit citizens because you can go to that one portal, you can access a subject. If it is bifurcated according to the subject, then you access the subject-oriented law, and it becomes quite easy for you to access the laws, and we might also have to remember that, you know, ignorance of law is not an excuse. So when we follow a principle like that, then it's that much more important for the governments to especially make it available for citizens that they are well-informed, they understand their legal rights, because understanding of the legal rights, of course, is a big step in enforcing the legal rights as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that all only when you have access to the laws and you know your rights. So in that context, the single source for laws is really important because it adds responsibility on the governments to provide the information that they have to provide for the citizens.
Yeah. So single source can basically ensure that people have greater access to laws. But right now, what do you think are some of the administrative issues when it comes to laws, accessing laws and disseminating laws rather? What are the major challenges that we face?
So what I would say are the major challenges. One is definitely the legal design component of it. So legal design is this growing field where access to justice is expanding to incorporate multiple dimensions. One of it is legal design. Legal design understands that all the information are now on the digital medium. So we shouldn't make anything an information dump. We might have to ensure that whatever information we share is actually disseminated in a purposeful way so that citizens and people accessing the information can actually make sense out of that information. So that's one of the biggest challenges we have. Even though we have electronic gazettes, if you actually look at the user interface of these gazettes, you would quickly find that it's not very citizen-centric, it's not citizen-friendly. You hardly can make out what the information is, because in some gazettes, if you notice, actually, it's not just the laws. They also put out other state-related notifications. So by the time you have to search for the exact law that's been gazetted, you'll have to undertake quite a bit of search, and you have to literally trawl through the websites to try and find something that's relevant for you. So in this scenario, it becomes important for you to focus on legal design aspects of whatever information that you disseminate online. So everything is now digital, which means you also have to start thinking about the next step, you know, because previously it was publication of laws. But then now you have to start thinking about what it entails to have digital publication of laws, and what should it be to have an authenticated, consolidated, updated, and reliable digital version of laws. So that's a challenge.
So Sandhya, when you are saying that gadgets, they don't follow appropriate design which can help the citizens understand laws. Now, we are basically talking about the publication aspect of laws, right? Laws are made by different legislative institutions, parliament, state legislative bodies, they make it. And then it is finally published in the gadget. And you are saying the design here is not appropriate. And here again, we have different bodies making law, right? At the union level, you have laws, and you have the laws at the central level, municipal level. So there will be gadgets at multiple levels, right? So a state will have its own gadget. Union level, there will be different gadgets. There will be a gadget. So do the performance functions of gadgets at all these different levels same, or they also keep on varying?
That's the next thing that I was going to come for. Why, you know, what is the challenge is definitely how the various state and the central government gadgets function. So even though they all have, like, if you actually notice the different state government gazettes, you don't really have any uniform policy in respect to how the laws are published. Sometimes there are instances where some of the gazettes have not been updated for more than 5 years, sometimes even 10 years. So you wouldn't know where exactly to go search for the laws. One of the things that we suggest is definitely thinking about a long-term policy for both the state and the central level when they are sort of indulging in the publication of laws. So that's definitely a problem because, like you said, the laws are actually made at the various levels. So it's that much more important for you to have a streamlined, synchronized access so you know what a particular subject has, you know, what are the legal provisions impacting a particular subject at the state level, central level, and how it is read with possibly some other changes that have been made at the municipal level, for example. So, yeah.
Yeah. So another thought that was coming to my mind is, see, we have been drafting laws for a long period of time. I mean, our constitution came into being some 70 years back. So from that period onwards, we will be drafting different laws. Union governments, state governments, they will be making their laws. But again, law should be in sync with the present context, the social context rather. So many of the laws that would have been formed maybe some 40 years back, 60 years back, they might not be useful or they might be rarely used in the present context. Right? So do we have any provisions by which the laws which are not used right now, they are removed now also they are part of these gadgets? I'm asking you because if, let's say, there are laws which are rarely used and they are also somewhere there, then those laws which we frequently use, they are also tabled with them, and it can provide a confusing picture to the citizens when they are trying to access it.
Yeah, that you're right. So at the end of the day, even though this paper is, predominantly talking about dissemination, we do refer to one particular aspect where dissemination is closely linked to the making of laws. So in that context in India, if you actually see, there have been committees, like the paper refers to one such central government committee where it suggests a certain number of laws to be repealed. So in India, you have to specifically repeal a law. So the issue also is quite complicated because sometimes at the state level, you might have to have state governments to monitor what is not applicable anymore, and they have to repeal it specifically at the state level as well. So there are quite a few issues that are sort of linked with both dissemination and lawmaking. One is definitely over-legislation, like you pointed out, because we have too many laws, both at the central level and the state level. Actually, some scholars actually say that at the state level, we don't even have any particular sense of the approximate number of laws at the state level. So that's how confusing things are at the state level. So disseminating state level laws sometimes is a harder challenge than disseminating central level laws and keeping a tab on the central level laws. And then there is, of course, sometimes you might have the law, but there might be a specific provision that stands repealed, but you're not really sure if it is repealed or not. So that is another sort of an issue as well that ties up with the over-legislation and contributing to the confusion that citizens face. So in a way, yeah, there are some issues where lawmaking impacts dissemination. One way in which it can possibly be combated, we think, is, and we also mentioned that in the paper, is that we think sometimes there should be better line of connectivity between making of the laws and an enforcement schedule, for example. And also we think you need to, for example, if you pass a particular law or a particular set of amendments, you have to make an enforcement schedule saying on so-and-so date, this will come into effect. On so-and-so date, this next provision will come into effect. And then it should immediately be updated. So that's one way you have to invest on that linking mechanism to make sure that the confusion is reduced. As regards over-legislating and, confusion because of not repealing, that's a separate issue that's really not something dissemination can do with. That needs to be a concentrated effort on the parts of the state government and the central government to constantly monitor and keep repealing the laws specifically, because the mechanism we follow in India is that we have to specifically repeal the laws that are not in existence or not applicable anymore.
The enforcement part is something, enforcement schedule is something which is interesting. I was going through your paper and you have mentioned how there have been certain laws like the Foreign Exchange Management Act, how within a span of 12 years, there have been some 290 changes in that law. So imagine the plight of individuals who would be following, who are directly impacted by this particular law. So they have to regularly keep updating themselves all changes have happened. And this also reminded me of those demonetization days. Right after demonetization, yeah. How many times the different laws used to change? Every second day, there will be a new policy. You have to go to the RBI website and keep on saying, looking at their circulars. And after some point of time, we even stopped tracking all these changes.
Yeah. Also, another thing that we might, do well to remember is the fact that all these FEMA and all that, if you notice, private publishers take over after a while. So you might have to buy the book every year.
Yeah.
So you have that issue as well, because you are now sort of relying on private dissemination as well. So that also starts, you will start questioning about the amount of resources that you have to put in if you're dependent on a legislation like FEMA, and then you will have to rely on private dissemination of the laws as well.
Yeah, so again, not everyone will have access to this, or they have to pay for it from their own pockets. You have also talked about some other challenges that we have when it comes to accessing laws. For example, you mentioned about social and cultural barriers that are there.
Yeah, so as much as, I mean, I'm deeply aware that this paper, we talk about digital dissemination of laws. While we do think that digital dissemination is really important when everything is moving online, and we are also acutely aware that there is a lot of challenges in terms of ensuring inclusive accessibility. So there is a considerable amount of population perhaps that could not have digital access. You know, that could be two reasons. One could be because maybe you're not digitally literate, even though you might have the resources. And another reason could be that you just simply don't have the resources to access the digital medium at all. So that's another issue as well, even though we don't, I have to say that we don't really delve deep into how to improve inclusive access in terms of non-digital mechanisms, because there's only so much we can do within the paper. We've tried to signpost that it's an important thing for us to remember and not focus on digital accessibility without thinking about how to bridge this gap between those who do not have digital access yet. That's one of the social cultural barriers. Another social cultural barrier which we think is really important and we think something needs to be done is the linguistic access. Because if you actually notice, most of our legislations are either available in English, or sometimes you will find some central legislations, if you go to the official language wing, perhaps that department website, you will find that some of the central legislations have been translated to Hindi or a few other languages. But you don't find translations for all the official languages. So this is an important aspect that we might have to start thinking about, because you're not making laws for only a few people who understand Hindi or English. You need to ensure that laws are translated in all the official languages so that it reaches as many citizens as possible. So this could actually be an important part of inclusive access as well, because you need to remember that linguistic access is equally important.
Does it also make sense to convert laws in regional languages to other languages, to maybe English, Hindi? Because I would assume that sometimes laws that are made by the state will be in the regional languages.
Yes, you're right. Because sometimes when you're researching on a particular state's local rules, you will find that it's all been in Hindi. For example, I noticed that recently when I was looking up certain rules for video conferencing that has been passed over the last year, and some states have the rules in Hindi. So yeah, it'll also make sense sometimes for certain rules to be translated to English as well for other people to access.
So, Sandhya, these are all different kind of challenges right now that we have when it comes to accessing laws. And access to laws is one of the fundamental pillars of rule of law. Now, can you substantiate something on it? Why rule of law is important, and how lack of access to laws is impacting our performance when it comes to rule of law?
So, the thing with the single source for laws is that it's really, this sort of a venture is important for us to ensure that our laws are clear, our laws are updated, our laws are certain, and all these dimensions, the certainty aspect, the availability and the updated availability aspect, as well as the clarity aspect, it all fits into the rule of law scheme. You know, it's also one of the parameters in the World Justice Project, where they talk about open government and they talk about availability of laws as well. And further, there are certain important factors within the Indian judiciary sometimes. For example, I just want to cite one case law as an example. So there was a case called the Mumbai Grahak Panchayat versus the state of Maharashtra and others, where the Bombay High Court identified that the lower judiciary in Maharashtra, they do not have adequate access to copies of legislations themselves. Now, this is an important example because more often than not, we think it's only the citizens who are struggling because we don't have a single source for laws. But the fact is that even the lower judiciary in some instances are also struggling to access updated, consolidated versions of legislations, and sometimes have to rely on, you know, lawyers for the copies, and sometimes it also will in effect impact the judgments that are made. So it's important for rule of law in the Indian context that the single source for laws will be crucial in improving accessibility of laws, which will indirectly also ensure that, you know, you have judgments that are made according to the latest versions of the law.
Yeah, so single source for laws is something which is, crucial, and it is the need of the hour. It is something which can benefit citizens. It is also something which can improve the delivery of justice. It can establish rule of law. And at present, we are trying to have some, there are some efforts by which we are trying to establish these things, but it is not optimal, or it is not something that is, we still have a lot of scope to improve on this. So Sandhya, what are some of the ideas by which we can improve the single source for laws?
I think what we try to do in this paper is, you know, but before I get into the ideas, I just want to say that we understand that it's going to be quite challenging to have the single source for laws in, you know, in the best possible sort of way in which you can build a single source for laws. It's going to be a long-term process. That being said, some of the ways in which we think we can really start engaging with this concept of single source for laws, and is one of the ways is to try and improve on an existing portal and leverage existing resources. For example, we have the India Court Portal. So we think that it's a good place to start, and improvements to the India Court Portal can in effect become a single source for law portal. That's one of the ways to go about it as well. While we are trying to leverage existing resources and transform the India Court Portal, we might have to ensure that we'll have to revisit some fundamental impediments as well. One of the impediments is definitely the use of disclaimer clauses. So what happens in the Indian context right now is whatever government gazette website you go, or if you go to the India Court Portal, you will find that there are disclaimer clauses, where a disclaimer clause is in effect where the website will give you the contents, and then the website will say, we are not going to give you guarantee for accuracy. And that's a problem, because if you're going to be a government repository where citizens and everybody else comes to you for an authentic copy, you can't have a disclaimer clause. So that's something we might have to rethink, and we might have to do away. We should definitely do away with the disclaimer for accuracy, and try and limit the scope of a disclaimer clause to possibly saying, okay, this is information, this is not legal advice. That's one way to go about it. So that's one of the things in which we should remember when we are transforming existing portals to a single source for laws. And the other thing that we might have to do is definitely think about building a policy for publication of laws, especially digital publication of laws, because this sort of a policy framework should take into consideration state government authorities, the Department of Publishing and Printing at the state level, and as well as the central level, where you'll have to take into the central government's gazette department. You might have to ramp up the resource requirements in these gazette departments and ensure that there is a policy in which, as soon as a law is made, it is sort of communicated to the different departments and it is uploaded. So there might have to be a concentrated effort to improve this process of streamlining publication of law. So that is one of the other ideas that we float in this paper. And definitely, as I've already spoken a little bit about legal design as well. So one of the other ideas is improving legal design components in our digital repositories, especially when we build a single source for laws. If I'm a senior citizen, I should be comfortable accessing the website. If I'm a differently abled citizen, I should also have other options for me to access the single source for laws. And importantly, when citizens come in, they should quickly be able to find what they are looking for. I mean, it's quite complicated to understand everything within a legislation, but the least is try to ensure that you can place what you're looking for in an easy way. And one of the ideas that we float is actually quite interesting, and it's called using, we suggest using a standard that is approved internationally called Akoma-Noposo, which is a sort of a 360-degree viewing of a legislation. Of course, I'm sure there might be other options apart from Akoma-Noposo. We just, one of the ideas is Akoma-Noposo. So it's basically where you can access the legislation and you can access it at different dates. So you know what a legislation was as on date. So I think this could be useful for both judiciary, the lawyers, as well as citizens, because you know what was the law as on the date that you're possibly trying to look for, because you have issues like cause of action and all that when you file cases, and this could make a big difference. And it also will ensure that even if there is a legislation with maybe 200 amendments, as on date, you can still access the consolidated legislation. So that's a great way to go about improving a single source for laws using a standard like Akoma-Noposo. One of the ideas was also taking inspiration from something that was floated but was not really taken up, because there was something called the Transparency of Rules Act that was floated, where that kind of proposed legislation, actually what it did was try to create an incentive for policy. So that Transparency of Rules Act was basically trying to ensure that government departments are compliant with the rules in terms of, you know, ensuring that they place every citizen-facing rule, regulation, and other requirement in the website in English, Hindi, and regional languages. So we definitely think trying to create an incentive-based policy or legislation like that would also be important in promoting this single source for laws as a venture. And finally, of course, I've spoken about the linguistic access. So that's also one of the ideas that we floated here in ensuring that a single source for laws. So finally, you also say that you have to look at laws as digital public goods now. So we think that as much as there is private dissemination and that's available, we think that the government should look at disseminating laws as a state obligation in terms of how they disseminate digital public goods effectively, and should possibly look at doing this in a purposeful manner for the citizens' benefit.
This is an interesting bit, that dissemination of law should be considered as a public good. Yeah, definitely it is something which the government has to do, because the very nature of the public goods, right? So private players might not have much incentives in disseminating it. So government has to step in here. So basically, how can we improve the single source for laws? So we need to have incremental changes. Already we have some portals. We have to build on that. We have to focus on the legal design. We have to ensure that it is easily accessible. People from different sections of the society, despite all the cultural, social barriers, should be able to access it. We have to fix responsibility, accountability. So these are certain things that we need to focus on. And that way, a single source for laws can be a one-stop solution for all our law needs. Sandhya, would you want to add something to this?
I just want to say that, you know, as much as this paper tries to do its best in terms of ensuring ideas and challenges and outlining what has to be overcome and what needs to be done, we also understand that this is a long-term process, because many international jurisdictions, the UK, for example, you know, it took them 10, 15 years to build the kind of repository that they have built right now, where they have a single website where you can access all their legislations, and they also follow the Akoma-Noposo standard as well. So we might have to bear in mind this is a long-term planning process. As much as we should start right away, we should do things in incremental, phase-wise changes, because we can't change everything overnight. But this is going to have long-term benefits that citizens and government can reap from as well, because the paper, that's why, also focuses on long-term use of technology tools as well, in terms of how, you know, you have a repository like this and you collect data, you can also keep a tab on how to improve your lawmaking process apart from other things. So while we look at this as an important investment, we should also think that this is going to be a long-term process with long-term benefits.
Thanks, Sandhya, for the enlightening discussion. Thank you, listeners, for staying tuned. If you want to read the paper, the link is along with this podcast. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much.
The Takshashila Institution is an independent, non-partisan think tank and a school of public policy. We have education programs lasting one semester and one year that are tailored specifically for people like you. They are all online and you can take them from anywhere. Admissions are now open for our 12-week graduate certificate program in public policy, defense and foreign affairs, technology policy, and health and life sciences. Visit takshashila.org.in/courses to find out more.
Hey, hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week. Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.